And we are blessed if we have found that. And we should be grateful every single day for the privilege of knowing Him. I'm sorry that Ed's not here. Ed and Muriel are in PA with family arrangements, death in the family and so forth. But I know he's a Clint Eastwood fan, and I think some of you are also very familiar. I particularly love the old classic Clint Eastwood stuff, Dirty Harry, in that era. But there was a movie in 1977 called The Gauntlet. And so it starred Clint and his sidekick in a number of those early movies, Sandra Locke. And I love that duo in the films. But the plot is there's a journey. They're going on a journey. They're actually fleeing or fugitives. And they're traveling from Las Vegas to Phoenix. And it involves cars, motorcycles, train, and finally a bus. And that's the highlighted scene at the very end of the movie. And that's where the title comes from, The Gauntlet, where they're in Phoenix and they're headed to City Hall, and they've outfitted this bus with makeshift metal plates. And the police are actually shooting at the bus. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of rounds that are shot into that bus. And I can still hear the sound as that last flat tire reaches City Hall when the bullet deflated it. And the sound of that door opening and Clint coming out. Classic. Oh, some of you like those movies too, I see. It kind of rings prophetically of the day we're living in and the things that are going on in society right now. You don't know what is going to happen. You don't know. I'm not surprised at whatever happens on any given day. And so this movie is about the story of mob and police corruption, and it ends at the City Hall, and they walk out of that bus, and they make it to their intended destination. And God is going to bring this country to its intended destination, its intended destiny. It will come to pass. God's word never fails. And what he says will happen without fail. The problem from our part is we don't understand God's timing a lot of the times. And so we become doubtful, we become fearful, and so forth. But God wants his people in this hour to stand strong and stay the course. I am not daunted by what I see going on because my hope is not in a president. My hope is not in a Supreme Court. My hope is in him. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for being ever faithful. And so I did get a brief vision and a word when I was away. Surprise, surprise. When I have that time to just sit before the Lord and rest. And I saw this very thin ribbon of a road straight going out to the horizon. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, running or run the gauntlet. And that is the message I have for you this morning, is running the gauntlet. Now, some of you may understand what that means. In the simplest sense, a gauntlet are gloves that, like, what do you call those? Fencers when they're fencing, those protective gloves that they wear. But way, way back, and the word comes from, I think, Swedish history, where military, as a punishment, you would have to, they would line up on both sides and you would have to run the gauntlet as they wailed away on you, and you were literally a sitting duck. And it was a very vivid and painful journey for whoever had to endure it. But here are some definitions of that word gauntlet. It'll be on the recording on the website, so you don't have to try to, there's a lot here, but it's important to hear and set the tone for where we're going. From the Free Dictionary, to be exposed to or forced to endure a series of threats, dangers, criticism, or other problems. Sound familiar? To run the gauntlet of something means to be exposed to danger, criticism, or adversity. To run the gauntlet of something or someone, if you run the gauntlet of a difficult situation, especially one in which many people insult, question, or attack you, you experience the gauntlet. To go through an intimidating or dangerous crowd, place, or experience in order to reach a goal. Are you hearing some things this morning? To be exposed to a course of danger, trying conditions, or criticism. So when the Holy Spirit says, run the gauntlet, what exactly is he saying? Coming to that place, coming to that narrow place, that narrow gate that the scripture talks about here in Matthew chapter 7, where if the Lord is not on our side, where would we be? The scripture says. So, what does it mean? Let's flesh it out. Number one, choose to follow Jesus in this hour. Not following a man, not following a philosophy, not following a political something or other. Following the Lord Jesus Christ, and believing in and on Jesus. It says there in verse 13, Matthew 7, enter by the narrow gate. I always get songs when I prepare a message, and I was getting an older one by Hillsong that says, one way, Jesus, you're the only one that I can live for. And I know that some of you who've grown up in the Lord in recent years remember that verse, that song. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the light, life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So, you want to know the Father, you know Jesus, and that's the way. That's the gauntlet we have to walk in order to grow in the things of God, to grow in our relationship with Christ. Luke 13:24, strive to enter by the narrow door or narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. The reason being self-righteousness. They think if I'm a good person, if I can do it by works and I can get to heaven that way. I can do it by giving. If I give enough, or if I serve enough, those things are all good. I'm not telling you don't do those things. But they will not get you into the kingdom. They will not get you to the end of your personal gauntlet, your journey with Christ. Only following him. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, and there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus. So we need to decide to follow Jesus. It's not something that just happens. It's a choice. It's a daily choice, actually. And even during the day, we have to make those righteous and right choices if we're going to follow him. There is a cost because it's a narrow way. You will have to run the gauntlet. There's no avoiding it. If you're going to follow Christ, there's a narrow way. There's a journey he has mapped out for you and I. But here's the good news. He said, 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is perfected in weakness. And he also said in an Old Testament context, Isaiah 41:10. I think this should sound familiar. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you, and I also will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen? So he will sustain and empower us as we walk this gauntlet. And I got something this morning to add to this. I didn't have it yesterday. While I was having my coffee, I heard the words, markers and milestones. And so I believe I didn't see those on that narrow ribbon of a road, that gauntlet that I saw in the spirit. But those markers are right there as we journey down. Not looking back, hello. Not looking back, looking forward. Walking forward by faith. Those markers and milestones are there. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Look how far you've gone already. In due time you will reap if you do not grow weary. These are some of the milestones and the markers along our journey. It's the Word of God that surrounds us, that's in us. He says the Word of God is even nigh into your mouth, and it's very important to proclaim and declare God's Word in our circumstances, especially when we're in that narrow place. Secondly, we have to choose faith and not fear. It says there in our text, Matthew 7:13, the way is broad that leads to destruction. The Passion Translation reads, nearly everyone chooses the crowded road. And it's so true. People follow the crowd. Well, not if you're on the gauntlet. Not if you're running the gauntlet. You're running according to his word, according to the direction and guidance of Holy Spirit. You're not going to be running with the crowd. The crowd follows their own understanding, their own knowledge, the easy route, the way of the flesh. That will get you nowhere on the gauntlet. In fact, it'll short circuit your journey with the Lord. We have to be men and women of the Spirit, guided, obedient, faithful, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean it's always going to be fun and pleasant and a party. Certainly not. But as we heard, and we'll hear it again, He's with us. He's for us. He'll never leave us. He's in the midst of the battles that we face. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Let us lay aside every encumbrance or distraction and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, or looking to Jesus and looking away from all else. The Passion renders this very well. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. For the path has already been marked out before us. There's those markers and milestones. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze unto Jesus. His example is this. He birthed faith within us, and He leads us forward into faith's perfection. I've been watching a lot of the prophets in the last week. I've had that undivided attention to catch up on what the prophets are saying about all that's going on in the world and with the election and so forth. And one extremely accurate man named Tracy Cook. And I happened to catch a tidbit that he said. He made an acronym for the word fear. And he said, fear is faith in evidence that appears real. Faith in evidence that appears real. When it's really not. It's not the real deal. It's not really what's going on. It's not what God has planned. And whether it's politics or my life or your life, sometimes we look at things and we tempted to revert to looking at them in the flesh and understanding them in the flesh and responding to them in the flesh. And that's when we're halted on the gauntlet. We can't move forward in faith because we're focusing on things other than Jesus Christ in our journey. Faith in evidence that appears real. First Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. To the degree you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. I don't know if that was driving you crazy, that popping noise, but it was driving me crazy. There's a song, there's an old standby hymn that I used to sing when I was first introduced to the kingdom. And the words are, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And that's how we're going to make progress in this life, in this walk, progressing down that narrow way, that gauntlet that God has purposed, planned, and anointed with his provision and power, as long as we stay on track, as long as we stay sensitive to the voice of Holy Spirit. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear or drives out fear. And we heard that this morning as we began our time together as well. The Lord is orchestrating some things. So we need to have faith and not fear the uncertainty of the narrow way. Keep walking by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7, because, have you found this to be true? Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and yes, forever. He is the same. He doesn't change. You can rely on that. You can trust in that. Number three this morning, choose the cross, not compromise. It's a choice. We're going to have to make that choice every single day that we walk with him. Choosing his way, the way of the cross. Is it easy all the time? No. But is it necessary? Yes. I was remembering, and I played this album maybe hundreds of times when I was a baby Christian by Keith Green. No Compromise was the title of the album, but there was also a song. And the line there says, no token prayers, no compromise. Can you feel the weight of his presence as I spoke those words? No token prayers. Mean what you say and say what you mean. That's what it's saying there. No compromise. The way of the cross is a narrow way, but it's the only way that leads to life. It says in our text, Matthew 7:13, many are those who enter by it the broad way, but the broad way is not the way of the gauntlet. It's not the Lord's plan. It's not the Lord's way. And the anointing is not on the broad way. The anointing falls on the narrow way. The provision falls on the narrow way. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 16:25 says that exact, those exact words. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. And that counsel is the Word of God and the voice of Holy Spirit. And if you're relying on his counsel, you're relying and heeding the Holy Spirit. Discipleship is costly. And Jesus made it very plain in the Gospels, in the words that are recorded there for our edification. Luke 9:23, Jesus saying, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself or his wishes and desires, in other words, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Likewise, Matthew 10, 38 and 39, he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life, or the self-life, will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. And it's talking about the new, the abundant life, John 10:10, in Christ. It's opposite of the way the gray matter would think. You must be servant of all. Love rules and reigns. You don't have to look out for your own interests. He will do that. As long as you're following him, as long as you're staying and walking in faith on your own gauntlet. Your gauntlet is not my gauntlet. I don't have to worry about yours. I better worry about mine. You better worry about what God would require of you. So we need to embrace the cross and the Christ-centered life. Though it is narrow, it is the way of abundant life. It's the only way you're going to be fulfilled. Running the gauntlet is costly, but it leads to life, joy, peace, and prosperity. But those things aren't always readily apparent until we stay the course, until we stay committed to walk the walk he has planned. Number four, choose life. When you're on the gauntlet, there's always a choice, death or life. And it says that, I think it's in the book of Joshua, I don't have it here, but you know, it says, the decision is before you. You either choose life or you choose death. Choose life. For the gate is small, verse 14, Matthew 7, 14. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. The Passion reads, the narrow gate and the difficult way leads to eternal life. It doesn't always look like it, but that's truth. That's the truth. God's way always leads to life and yields life, produces life. John 3:36, he who believes in, or chooses to follow Christ, in the Son, has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life. Or I would say, experience life to the fullest. John 6:40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. Likewise, 1 John 5:11, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, is in Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:8 also talks about the Holy Spirit and reaping eternal life as you yield to the counsel and the guidance of Holy Spirit. So we need to forge ahead, unashamed, unafraid, choose life, choose love, choose his will, and run the gauntlet for Jesus. There's no other reason. It's not for approval of man. It's not for what people might think of you or not think of you. It's about what does he think? Are we being true to the mission, to the race, to the gauntlet that he has laid out for our life? And that thing is always being revealed to us, the next steps on the gauntlet. And you know why that is? We're on a need-to-know basis, because we would get fearful. We'd say, no, I can't do that, Lord. So he only reveals or gives revelation when we are ready for it, when we can handle it, when we have the faith for it. And that's very frustrating for the ones who like all their ducks to be in a row. I think that includes all of us, doesn't it? Talking to you, Joe. I know you're watching. Praise his wonderful name. And number five, choose his way and not your way. Ouch. You know, sometimes we think we have it all figured out. Sometimes God is pretty lucky to have me on his side. I mean, we don't say it, but we can act like that, can't we? That's putting confidence in the flesh, not in the spirit, not in your God-given anointing. You know, I've learned over the years, I mean, yes, God can use me in teaching and preaching and prophecy, in healing, but when I step out and off the gauntlet, there's no anointing. It may be a good thing, but not a God thing. God hasn't asked me to do it, and I just assume, okay, it's a good thing, but I might be interfering with the plans God has for some other person's life. And so that umbrella of the anointing, that covering, when we step out off the gauntlet, the anointing disappears. Choose his way, not your way. Verse 14, Matthew 7, few are those who find it. I was remembering, I guess they have changed it, and my friend Bob in Florida, you can tell me if this is true, but the motto of the Marines used to be, the few, the proud, the Marines. And I went online and it seemed like they may have changed that. I don't know what the new one is or if there is a new one. Semper Fi? Okay. Always faithful. Yes, Lord. So he chose you. He chose me for greatness. You know, you have to get a hold of this. You carry a deposit of Jesus Christ. He lives within you. I don't understand it. It's a mystery. If he lives in you, you carry greatness. Wherever you go, he goes. You were created for greatness and with greatness before you were even born. He had a plan. He had a purpose, and he had provision for your life. He chose you for greatness and filled and anointed you with his purposes. John 13:18, I don't have that up there. Isaiah 55:8-12. My ways are not your way. Probably should read it all because it's a very powerful verses here. Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But here it is. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you. I can't wait to hear nature break out in shouts. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. What? It's not going to be a cartoon. It's not going to be animated. It's going to be real. And how do I know this? He says it in his word. So we need to serve the Lord with gladness. Psalms 100. You can read the rest of it. Psalms 100, 2-5. Running the gauntlet can be challenging, but you are never running alone. You're never alone when you're running this road, running this gauntlet. He is with you. He is for you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will anoint you. He will light your way in the darkness and guide you. Psalms 31:3. And John 16:13. He will guide you in all truth as you run your own race, as you run for Jesus, and as you run the gauntlet in his strength, with his grace, and with his power. And I'd like to end our time together. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Do you not know? Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable, that crown of glory that's reserved in heaven for all of us. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I know I have one that has my name on it. You do too. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. This is the race, my friends. This is the gauntlet that he expects us to run for him, for his glory. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to take a step and then another step. The Holy Spirit will guide us. Doesn't have to make sense. If you try to figure it out, you're going to fail. You can't process it through here. You have to process it through here. So with all that's going on, can we just, as we close, I don't know if the Lord wants to dispense anything else, but I don't want to miss that opportunity. You can stay seated, you can stand, you can raise your hands, you can talk to him, you can worship, whatever you feel comfortable doing. But I pray right now for all of you, that God will release that which He has planned for you. He will give you a fresh vision. You will be aware of a fresh anointing. You will see things as they really are, not what appears to be evidence that appears real. Why can't we have heaven now, heaven on earth? Scripture says one day we will see Him as He really is. I want to see Him as He really is right now, in my walk, on my gauntlet, in the middle of my challenges. And that should be your heart cry and your prayer as well. God bless you and keep you as you respond to the Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen.